T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
Ah, some Big Boy and Andre 3000 to get you folks right. An hour before pregame coverage of Hawks Bucks right here on 92.9 The Game. Steve Holman and Andy Bunker on the call tonight. Of course, our guys Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on the call over at Star 94.1, our sister station for United Fire. Their pregame coverage kicks off at 7:30. So we got a lot going on here in our Odyssey cluster. Hey, if you are in your car, of course, we appreciate you listening. But speaking of Odyssey, if you are at home or just out and about and not in the car, you can also listen to us on Odyssey, on the Odyssey app. Actually, I got to give it to us. It's a cool app. It is a highly functional app.
Rewind
and
stuff.
Did he just say that?
Go back.
Rewind. No. So yeah, it's got some really, really cool elements there on the Odyssey app. And so we appreciate you checking our show out and really checking out all of our programming across our Atlanta cluster. And you're probably going to stick around, and we want you to stick around for the next hour to hear what we have to say, a little bit of what we're going to talk about with the Hawks, but want to hear from you as well. Jarvis Davis, Tanisha Batiste here on the show. We want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. You can give us a call on that line, or you can text us to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, because we want to know your thoughts. Now, of course, we've known for several hours now that Giannis Antetokounmpo is out for game 6, dealing with that hyperextended knee. But as far as Trey with the bone bruise to the right foot, we're gonna give you fans some optimism. So we're gonna go with upgraded to game time decision. So that is where we stand with Trey. But you know, Jarvis, it's interesting because this series has literally been seemingly about the team that gets out and is aggressive first. It's been about that. It's been about X factors, if you will. And to some degree, it's been about the superstars from each team, to some degree. So that makes me think about it. We can talk a little bit about those different elements of what's going to potentially lead the Hawks to a game 6 win so that they can force a game 7 and avoid elimination. But let's talk Trae Young. Is the Hawks' only option for winning tonight, as well as the series, if Trey is a go for both games or for at least game 6?
I don't think so, because when you go back to, you know, game 4, when they when they won without Trey, and you know, it showed me that they can do it, right?
Yes.
And I think the main reason why they lost game 5 was because the scoring down low with Bobby Portis and Brooks Lopez was absolutely just ridiculous. I'm sitting up here like literally watching the game. They made Brooke Lopez look like a Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Like he was Shaq. Like he was just sitting
for
up there
a
like,
moment
every
in time,
time they he was just running down to the paint and turned around and then ball. Give me ball, layup. and it was just so simple for him. And there were at times
where you
had John Collins who looked lost down there.
They're
throwing alley-oops over his head. I'm just like, okay, so we just gonna let those cats just just dunk all on my heads. Like, they gonna, you gonna let them do to you what you did to Joel Embiid? Like, I'm confused. Like, how you let that happen? Like, there's no way, as athletic as John Collins is, as an NBA player, there's no way he should be having alleys coming in hot over his head. That should never happen. So I think when you have a Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez combined for over 50 points, it's just, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. I don't care what type of game Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton has, you know, those guys have. You're not going to win because you were just absolutely got dominated down low.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point that maybe has been lost in the shuffle of the dominance in the paint, and that is the basketball IQ and needing to see more of that from someone like John Collins, who's now going into what, his fourth year in the league, needing to see him understand what's going on in the moment and being able to quickly adjust. Because like you said, one of the things you saw with Brook Lopez is he was immediately reading the defense, particularly where someone like a John Collins was on defense, and saying, oh, okay, well, if they think that I'm going to, you know, come inside the paint, well, I'm just going to back up and give him a 17 footer. Or if they think I'm just going to be Brook Lopez, who's going to sit behind the 3-point line all night, nah, I'm actually going to drive in because I know I can. So yeah, you definitely saw there were some questionable moments there where I wondered less about the athletic prowess and more about the basketball IQ and just the situational awareness. And like you said, I tend to agree that the Hawks can do it, at least in game six. They can do this without Trey. Now, you hope that Trey is a go. Trey's the type of player that if you get 65 or 70% of Trey, as long as, of course, he's not coming in with the possibility, the strong possibility or even likelihood of a long-term injury or long-term impact to his body that could result from that injury, whether it's because he's favoring, you know, the right foot and that turns out to be detrimental to, you know, another part of his body and he gets injured. Certainly don't want that. But we also know that Trey being in the game, even at 65 or 70%, is better than the majority of the league. But that said, game four at least showed you that the Hawks could do it in every area without Trey. You saw a lot more. You saw a lot more ball movement in game four. Right. And a lot of that is because they had one of their better ball handlers in the absence of Trey, of course, Lou Williams, who had just an amazing game. And of course, Bogdan Bogdanovic with an amazing game there as well. But they really, it was the beginning, Jarvis. It was really establishing everything at the beginning of the game and then sticking to that plan and being able to execute. So when you're talking about 50% from the field or even 35, almost 35% from three, you're talking about a team that established themselves with shooting from the beginning, but didn't let offense dictate, right? Defense is what dictated their offense in game four. So even them coming out even with rebounds, dealing with the fact that Giannis was in that game for the majority of that game and Brook Lopez was in that game, and the fact that they could still come out even is impressive. They kept the turnovers low and also had a little bit of an edge in points in the paint. That's something I want to see them do as well, Jarvis. I want to see them, yes, look, we know who you are. We know that you're a deep threat type of team. So we're not saying that we expect you're going to go away from what got you to the dance. You're a three-point shooting team. That is who you are. However, if the defense gives you the opportunity to drive, you're the better free throw shooting team. Mm-hmm. And if that gives you the opportunity also to, from time to time, get deep in the clock, possessions matter. Possessions could matter, especially if this happens to be more of like a game one game where it's close. But what I really feel is that whether it is on offense or defense, but I'll even say especially on defense, the Hawks need to establish themselves early and set the tone early, because that's actually been the winning formula for whichever team has won in this series.
And you know what? And I think how they do that, T, specifically, is Lou Williams is going to have to be even more keen in on being more of a distributor. Yes. I know he can get to the hole. I know he can get there. I know he can get to his spot. That mid-range game, the little fall-away 15-footer, it has been really working for him. But I think that given the structure of this team and given what's missing, which is Trae Young, who is an elite passer,
Yes.
I'm not saying that he has to be an elite passer, but I think he has to focus in on getting guys like Capella involved, getting guys like John Collins involved, and running that pick and roll or that double pick and roll, high double pick and roll at the top of the key. Those are some of the things that they're going to have to implement, because not to say to try to copy what they do with Trey, but to get those guys involved, because we all know John Collins' basketball game is fluid.
Yes.
He can be a guy that can be just a defense and rebound type guy and be plus 26 mm-hmm. and only score, what, 4 or 5 points, and you still win the game? Or mm-hmm. he can be a guy that can be 19-8 and you lose by 25. So those are some of the things that you have to kind of keep in mind. And if the Hawks don't have Trae Young, Lou is going to have to really focus in on getting those assists and being more of a distributor and getting those guys involved. Because once you get those bigs involved, because yes. here's the thing, you know, Bogey can get his, you know, Dan can get his in the post, and he can get his on behind the 3-point line as well. Mm-hmm. But when you get those bigs involved, those guys get motivated. And,
yeah.
and when you get those guys running up and down the floor, you start, you know, rewarding them for playing on defensive side, because you got to have that. You got to have that defensive piece, right? So when you start to reward those guys on offense, that gives them more motivation to continue to do what they're doing. And then next thing you know, you have John Collins with 10-12 in the first mm-hmm. half, or 10-7 in the first half. And then you have Clint Capella with 6, 7, and 9 in the first half. So that's the type of thing. Then you start winning those other battles, right? Like we talked about down low. You're starting to win the rebounding piece. And you start mm-hmm. getting those second chance points on offense. So I think if the catalyst for this game, if Trae Young does not play, Lou Williams is going to have to be more of a distributor and get those bigs involved, T.
Yeah, and that includes the bigs from the bench. We need to see, and we've seen it. We've seen Onyeka Okongwu, who has really been under the tutelage of Lou Williams on that second unit the entire season. We've seen him grow. Exactly.
Yes.
We've seen mm-hmm. him grow before our eyes. So I honestly am expecting another strong game from him. He's been getting better and better as the playoffs have gone along. And also looking to get something good out of Cam Reddish again, because it was a 12-5 game. So on paper, it may not look like a lot in terms of the 23 minutes that he contributed in that game for a win, but he's another one who, if they can get him involved, if Luke can get him going early, if Trey doesn't go, but if they can get Cam Reddish involved and especially get him to make his presence felt on defense early on, that bodes well for the Hawks. Hey, we got a couple of callers, Jarvis. So let's hear what Sydney from Atlanta has to say. Sydney, we appreciate you listening. Thanks so much for calling in. And of course, we're talking Hawks-Bucks game 6. What are your thoughts on where the Hawks are, especially whether or not they need Trey to go, who, as you know, is a game time decision, or do you think they can take this should Trey not be able to go?
I think they're going to take game 6 only because the Braves are losing at the top of the ninth. And when the Braves lose, the Hawks win.
Listen, Sydney, what Sydney is saying may not sound super scientific to the average person, but Sydney is
so on point.
Break it down
to the simplest form. That's how we are on
this
show.
She's so on point.
Yeah, I get it.
With the exception of one game, Sydney, that we can think of, which absolutely happened a couple weeks ago when we were on air, and literally both teams were playing and both teams won. But Sydney is right. It is the craziest stat. But it seems like, especially in big game situations, whenever the Braves are playing and they lose, the Hawks are like, no worries, we got you. And they come up with a dub. It is the craziest thing. So, Cindy, thanks so much for that call. You called it making it simple, making it plain. Here's how the Hawks get game 6. So we got 2 minutes left, so we'll try to get another call in real quick. Dion from Atlanta. We're talking Hawks, Bucks, game 6.
Hey,
Hawks,
of course.
Hey, how are
you? Dion?
Thank you so much for the call. Tell us your thoughts, man, on what's it going to take for the Hawks to get this game 6 tonight.
We've done it before, so I believe we can do it again. We just got to get on defense. And like you were saying earlier, the guys have open shots to the rim, but then they pass it out to the three.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not falling early on, just take a couple mid-range shots. It'll spread the floor, get us open. That's all I've been like. We have the open shots, and then they pass the three. I get it, analytics and all that, but mm-hmm. we got an open shot to the rim. Let's go ahead and take that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
appreciate that, Deion. And, you know, Jarvis, Deion actually makes me think about another point as well, which is, hey, we know that a lot of times the Hawks do live and die by the three. But again, crash the boards. Crash the boards. There were so many instances in game five when, A, they took that shot early in the shot clock from three. They then missed that three, and they're already headed back in transition defense. And it's like, hey, is anybody going to stick around just in case your shooter misses and be underneath to be able to at least get an opportunity at a second chance point? Now, that's something that they did a much better job in game four, which was obviously critical to them, especially because, you know, there were moments, not a lot of moments in that game, but there were moments where the offense stalled. And just by chance that there was an opportunity for them to get those second chance points, that definitely boded well for them. So we want to see a little bit more of that. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more Hawks, you guys. Patrick from Douglasville, we hear you. Mel from Southwest Atlanta, we're going to try to get you in as well. Appreciate you listening as we take you up to pregame coverage of Hawks Bucks Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. I am Tanitra Batiste. This is Jarvis Davis here on Sports Radio 92.9 of the Game. We will be right back on the other side with the show. Now people gather around, now people jump around.
Hey, you ready? Hey, grab that right there. Are you ready? Oh. Is you ready?
Ready.
You say you ready. Oh. Whole squad ready.
Ready.
Is you ready?
Huh? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Are you ready? It's the show. Are you ready for the show? I'm Jarvis Davis. Tanitra Batiste is my co-host. We on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the show. We are taking your phone calls at 404-741-0929. And Tanitra, you give me a little amped up. I like this request that you send out with this song, because, you know, the Migos, you know, they are modern day fight starters there. And Tanitra is not here with us right now. Like we said before, we're taking your phone calls. And as you know, with game six coming up, the Atlanta Hawks are in a situation where they are facing elimination. They've been here before. We've talked about this. They are a 1-0 in elimination situations. But and like I said in the previous segment, the Atlanta Hawks are in position to really make a huge impact on this city, because just to give you a little background, we all know what Atlanta sports has done to us. For those of you who grew up here and been here for a long time and been a lifelong fan like myself, they have been known to let us down in these situations, T. But yeah, as I stated before,
Atlanta sports PTSD.
Atlanta sports PTSD, yes. That's what it is. But I'm taking that out. I don't care what the result of this game is. The Atlanta Hawks have proven to me that that doesn't exist for them. They have whisked that notion away. I no longer think about that from the Atlanta Hawks standpoint, because they have guys. They have a person. Mm-hmm. They have a superstar who doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't even understand what it means to tinkle games away or to shrink in big moments. This guy flourishes in big moments in Trae Young, and they are going to be taking it. And I'm pretty sure we both of us assume this. We just found out that it's going to be a game time decision, officially mm-hmm. announced that it used to be a game time decision against the Bucks tonight. But
right,
if this guy plays, if Trae plays, T, I think we're in for a treat tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And we know we got to get to some callers, but I'm asking our EP Garrett Chapman if I could just say one thing. And of course, we're going to get to Aaron and Woodstock, because you've been waiting a minute and we definitely want to hear your thoughts. But you said two things, Jarvis, that I respect so much, just appreciating what the Atlanta sports base has gone through, the fan base has gone through over the years. And after our ride, you know, we do a little debrief, if you will. And of course, anytime anybody figures out what it is that I do, of course, they want to start talking sports, and they want to start talking local sports, those Hawks, Hawks, and more Hawks. And one of the guys literally said that he had not really tapped in to the Hawks since the days of Dominique Wilkins. And so I said something to him. I said, okay, so you're telling me even that 2016 run, and everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yes, there's respect for what Al Horford and company were able to do at that time. So not taking anything away from them, but there's something about this team, the Trae Young version of the Hawks, the Travis Schlink version of the Hawks, the Steve Kooten version of the Hawks that is resonating, and the Nate McMillan, of course, version of the Hawks that is resonating throughout the city, that is making people say, do or die, win or lose tonight. Of course, they want to win, but win or lose, we believe, and we're not buying into the whole curse piece as well. So, yeah, absolutely appreciate what you had to say about, yeah, the faith has been tested with getting to Game 6, but believe Atlanta is still a thing. So, Aaron and Woodstock, like we said, thank you so much for joining Jarvis and me, and thank you so much for your patience in waiting to get on. We appreciate you, and we want to hear from you in terms of your faith being tested. Are you still believing? And what are your thoughts about tonight, especially what your thoughts are if Trae goes?
Hey guys, I just shout out to y'all. I didn't know y'all had that little segment together. I mean, I like the change.
Hold on, Aaron, before you go, I'm gonna let you talk, man. But why I gotta be little, man? Why I gotta be little? I just can't be. Why can't be a segment? Why can't just be a show? No offense, man. I'm just saying.
Y'all don't have a title. That's what I was gonna say next. Title for y'all show.
It's called the show. It's called the show. Yeah.
I like what y'all doing.
My man. Appreciate you, man. Go ahead, brother.
Nah, you're good. But I can piggyback off of what you were saying about win or lose or whatever, but I just don't like when people talk like that, because think about it. The NBA is so heavy in certain teams. Like Brooklyn's heavy. Of course the Lakers are always gonna be there. This is a year where a lot of people are hurt, a lot of teams are out. It's now or never, in my opinion, for the Hawks. Like, how you can always say, oh, they're a young team, they can get back again once again. I'm like, yeah, but a lot of teams say that. They said it about the Falcons, the Super Bowl, like, oh, they'll be back, they have a good core. It's hard to get that magic together again, and sometimes things align for you as far as injuries or opportunities that you got to take advantage of. So I think it's do or die for the Hawks. But as far as the game-wise, like you guys said, defensive and rebounding, like Tanitra said, the team that starts off early – is going to be the one that wins this game. It's about the others. The others typically play better at home, and I think we have more others than them. Without Giannis, they're only about 5 or 6 deep when it comes to scoring, especially if you look at the box score last game. So I think it's about our others, whether it's Lou's not really other, he's starting today, but whether it's Cam off the bench or if it's Herter actually getting going again, it's the guys that they come up when it's opportune, but when they're really counted on, we're going to need them to step up. So I think it's all about the others. So I'm just hoping that these guys step up at home. Hopefully the crowd gets behind them, and that kind of leads us to this victory. And anything can happen in the Game 7. So we'll see what happens. Let's get to Game 7.
Thank you for the call, Aaron, and I really appreciate it.
The others have to step up. You're absolutely right. The others have to step up. But at least, Jarvis, they're going to get what they need from their guy, because we just got confirmation that sources, according to ESPN sources, Hawk star Trae Young will be not just in the building, but will indeed play in Game 6 tonight. Of course, we know that he missed the last two games with that bone bruise in his right foot, and we don't know necessarily that he's 100%, but I think, Jarvis, that's just a good word to hear that indeed Trae will take the court in Game 6 tonight.
Yeah, so there's a very interesting how that thing was worded, right? Will play. Like, yeah. We don't know if he's going to start, you know,
yeah,
he's going to be in limited minutes. So that's right. That's the thing. And I think that, and I just want to kind of touch on what Aaron had pointed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
great call, I think he really, he, thank you for
yeah,
that.
He made a really good point. I think the one thing that you have to do is I do believe that the Hawks should seize this moment. Right. That's why I think they should win this game. And I wasn't speaking to whether they're not they will lose, but I was just saying that speaking to how I can trust this team, and I won't, my feelings won't get hurt, you know, because, you know, Atlanta sports, we have had our feelings hurt time and time again, and I want to get behind this team and for this team to gain my trust. They have gained my trust through this run. So that's why I say I trust them to win this game tonight. So I don't have any issues saying that. I don't have any qualms. There's no qualms. I don't have any qualms about it. You know, I'm confident in saying that because, like they say, they have that guy, and that guy who we just found out, and Trae Young, he is going to play. We don't know if he's going to start, but we know he's going to play. And this guy, this is the type of guy that loves to get big in these big moments. But 404-741-0929, let's go out to Patrick in Douglasville. Patrick, what's going on, man? Talk to me.
Hey, thank y'all for having me, and congrats on that Peachtree Road Race this morning.
Hey, man, appreciate you, man. It was a haul, but got it done, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, you sound a lot better than this morning, so I like it. But I think the Hawks are going to win. You know, and I'm glad to hear the announcement Trey's going to play. We ain't got to be perfect down low tonight, but we just at least got to win 40% of the battle. The Bucks can have 60, but we just got to take care of 40. And to be honest, we may know the outcome by the time we take our first shot tonight. We are 0-2, or we're 0-3 in this series against the Bucks when we miss our first shot. When we make our first shot, the Hawks are 2-0. So let's go, Hawks.
Hey, man, appreciate you, Patrick in Douglasville. And that just got a fight.
Yeah.
That just got a fight down,
though. The Hawks fans come with that unscientific fire, right? They're like, fight. Yeah. But I love it. It's like, okay, we may not have all of the numbers to back it up, but I'm going to throw out there, I love and appreciate that they dig down into the finest points of saying, hey, we win when we make our first shot. Man, that's some serious and respectable fandom. And I want to go back to something that you said, Jarvis, and also something that Aaron brought through as well. And that is this, because I think that both things can be true at the same time. And we'll take a couple more of your calls before we head to break. But I just wanted to point those two things out. What you said can be true at the same time, which is that you are not minimizing the desire and the belief that the Hawks are going to get to a game seven. But what you're saying is what you've seen out of the Hawks makes you believe. It actually has superseded your sports PTSD. But on the same token, we hear what Aaron's saying, which is I've been calling it for the last several days the Great War of Attrition. Like, literally, whoever survives the injury bug seemingly is going to take this title this year. Then you look at what happened in the opening rounds of the playoffs. You look at what happened last year and the amazing run that the Heat went on to get to the NBA Finals. But this year, no Lakers, no Heat to even talk about past the first round, right? So, yes, I agree with him where you hope to seize the opportunity and seize the momentum because you don't know what it's going to look like in a regular season, meaning that it starts in late October. It is an 82-game season. Players have a little bit more of an offseason to kind of get their bodies right, albeit they've got that full 30-team summer league situation going on in Vegas. But taking that away from the situation and a lot of the players having opted out of the Olympics as well, you're maybe going to see more of a full-bodied, full-throttled NBA come to the table next year. So you don't know. You don't know what could happen. It could get better, don't get me wrong, because free agency can certainly make things better for the Hawks. And this could be the start of something huge. But I just wanted to say that I believe that where the two of you guys are, truly both of those can be true at the same time. But I know we've got time for one more Garrett tells us. So Jarvis, let's go back to the phones real quick and get Gary from Atlanta. And Gary, thank you.
Absolutely. I just want to also give you guys a shout out. Glad you got some shine. I think we can do it. I definitely think we can do it here. And if we do it here, all the pressure is going to be on the Bucks because they're expected to win and we're not. So I believe in a game seven, we could take that same momentum and win it. and get to the finals. And one point I wanted to make that the guy made, this is our opportunity because everything's lining up. And as a man of God, not necessarily that he's got anything to do with this, but sometimes the stars do align. And again, you guys keep up the good work, and I'll just sit back and listen.
My man, I appreciate the call, Gary. And I think one of the things that I've said in this show, and I will continue to say as long as number 11, the number 11 now, Trae Young is here.
Yeah.
And this guy stands up. This guy shines in the biggest moments. He's continued to give us exactly what we've been wanting in this town, a guy that embraces the city's culture off the court, and he shines with it on the court. He takes it with him on the court, and being good friends with Migos, like I talked about earlier, and Migos actually being on the sidelines in the opposing teams on court. So those are some of the things that I think that people may not necessarily think are a factor, but for me, being from here, growing up here in this city, I embrace that. I appreciate that. And for this, going into this game like we are right tonight at 8:30, we found out that Trae, for those who don't know or if you missed it, Trae Young will play tonight, and I think he is going to absolutely shine and show his behind tonight.
Agreed.
Sorry,
agree.
I had to put it like that, but I had to put it. I got to put it where people understand.
In your ATL-ism, as only drivers can do it. As only drivers can do it. Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more Hawks. We just saw a tweet from my boy Andy Bunker, who is actually already at the arena. Of course, he's going to be calling the game with Steve Holman, and he said that the arena absolutely erupted when they saw three words come across the billboard: Trae will play. So we want to give you guys the opportunity to just tell us what your thoughts are, give us your feedback on this game, especially now that you know that your guys go. 404-741-0929. It's Jarvis Davis, Tanitra Batiste, and this is the show right here on 92.9 Game. We'll be right back.
This is a Missy Elliott exclusive. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the show. Jarvis Davis, Tanitra Batiste are here with you, taking it all the way up to pregame. Not with Mike Conti. He's handling Star, handling 90 United on Star 94, if you want to check them out over there. But Andy Bunker, Bunktown, Bunky Pants, the Bunk Man, Bunkinator, I can't think of anything else, so I'm just going to move on. It's going to be handling pregame and postgame for you, and getting you ready for a tip-off at 8:30. Trae Young will play. Trae Young will play. That's what we're talking about right now. On the phone lines, T. I don't know about you, but I'm a little excited.
Yeah. I was just going to say, there is nothing like hearing Steve Holman on the call. Like, it really is amazing. And we know, because Steve has gone through so much. He's gone through all the ups and downs, the ins and outs with this franchise. And it's such an exciting thing. And, I'm kind of peering in with a little bit of FOMO, because normally by now I would have been at the arena, but of course we got the show. We'll take you guys up to pregame, as Jarvis mentioned. But I was wondering too, I don't know if our callers are headed to the game or if they're just going to be listening to Steve Holman on the call, but I am curious to know if we have anyone who's waiting to talk to us, who's actually headed to the game. If not, if you are, let us know. Or if you are right there at the arena, let us know. But if not, you can always let us know what it is that you're looking for when you turn the tube on tonight, especially now that you know you are going to see some semblance of Trae Young, whether you see him with a minutes restriction, whether you see him as a starter or just someone who's going to be inserted in the game. But what are you looking for? What do you think it's going to take for the Hawks
to take game six. So, Jarvis, you want to go ahead and let's get the phone lines jumping since Janice has been patient enough to wait to join in. Janice from Atlanta.
Let's go to Janice in Atlanta. Janice, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, what you got? What you think for tonight?
Okay.
Trey Young is back.
Yeah, I'm not going to put all this pressure on Trey Young because I believe in the Hawks and Trey Young, but I believe that the Hawks need coaching, need strong leadership from the top that's going to help them, that's going to fight for them. You know, don't wait till your team down 20 points and then call a timeout. When you see the momentum shift, call a timeout. You know, and I know the team, the Milwaukee Bucks are big. Why don't you change your game plan, do more fast breaks because they big, but they slow. So, we can outrun them. So I just think I love the Hawks, but I'm a little bit disappointed in the coaching. I mean, I need for him to step up. That's what I need to step up is the coach and call and challenge some of these plays that the referee y'all, you know, to some of these fouls. Challenge some of the fouls. Fight for the Hawks from the beginning to the end. They need some. You know, they need that leadership. Fight for them.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Janice. And that's the thing. Like, I can't question. You know, Nate. Like, Nate been
home. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, she made me change my voice. Like Nate has been holding it down, Janice. Come on now.
Yeah, Janice. Come on. Give Nate some love. Now, look, there may have been
timeout calls, all of that.
Yeah.
All those things have been on point.
Right, because remember, Jarvis, that was, and Janice, we thank you for the call, but if we're being honest, that was one of the knocks on Lloyd Pierce, that he's often waited too long to make adjustments or didn't make the right adjustments or didn't call that timeout at a critical moment. I do think there were one, maybe two instances where I scratched my head a little bit on some of the timeout calls or maybe some of the adjustments that were made, the minutes played by certain players in game five. But if I'm looking at it holistically, no, I actually tweeted about that like darn near in the middle of the night after game four, because you know what happens? We get up as reporters and, you know, we've got to just kind of stay there focused mentally, physically, and just be in the game, right? So, Jarvis, I'm texting almost in the middle of the night with the exact opposite comment after game four. But I wasn't just talking about game four, by the way. I was just giving Nate McMillan his flowers after game four for the tremendous adjustments and something that I had been kind of calling out and looking for again, things like matching up Lou and Trey and having them out on the floor a little bit longer, if you will, giving Onyeka Okongwu more minutes, seeing what Cam Reddish was going to give us and at least throwing Chris Dunn out there here and there. So actually, I think for the most part, he has called a masterful postseason. And even with those maybe head scratchers once or twice in game five, I don't expect anything less of Nate tonight.
No doubt at all. I don't expect anything less as well. Let's go back out to the phones. RJ and Alpharetta. RJ, what you got, man?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want our offense to play aggressive. I don't want them to lead. I want them to lead quickly. And I want John Collins to lock down defender today. I don't want them to score anything in the paint. Let them earn. Don't make them free initially. Just, I want to play aggressive ball, both sides of the floor.
Hey, well, I'm with you, and thanks for the call, RJ. That's the thing. Like, that's what I want to see from John. And I really want
to. RJ, yeah.
Like,
RJ
that
put it
effort.
After.
I want to be that effort. I want to see that rebounding in defense. There was a guy that DM'd me on Instagram, mm-hmm. IG, as the young folks like to say, and he was talking about how John is needs trade in order to be a serviceable guy or be that number two guy. And my response to that was, he doesn't need Trey to play rebound and play defense. Cause a lot of people have said who's coached this game, who's played this game, rebounding and defense, that's all about effort. That's all about effort. Being locked in, like RJ said, you have to be locked in and be ready to play and ready to go from the jump. And that's the thing with John. Like, John can be effective just doing that. Like, I mentioned, you know, he was plus 26 and he had like 4 or 5 points, but he was active playing defense, you know, and being alert and communicating on D and being able to just be effective, even though he may not have the best of shooting night. And he can do that without Trey. And so I think that with what's on the line for tonight, and Trey coming back and me believing that he's going to be effective tonight and be effective in getting his teammates involved because that's what he's the best at. I really believe that John may be on the brink of having one of those type of games.
Yeah, I agree too. And it's so interesting because you know how Jarvis, as we were waiting, kind of watching and waiting and watching, and you look at each player, right? And you know, I've got one more player that you and I actually have not spoken about this entire night, so we can't get off these airwaves without talking about him, and that's my X Factor. But we'll talk about him in a minute. I want to just piggyback on what you said, as well as what RJ said. Thanks for that call from Alpharetta. We appreciate you because you made a great point. RJ he's demanding as a fan, and he is right that he wants to see that aggressiveness out of the gates. And there's something about Trae Young being on the floor that just absolutely gets his guy going. No question. So, yeah. Like you said, and he gets going in different ways. Sometimes it is, you know, that Lob City situation, that alley-oop. Sometimes it's that behind-the-back pass and you weren't looking for it, and all of a sudden, you know, JC is in the corner. And it's like, wow, you know, he's got that three. Things happen for John Collins when Trae Young is on that floor. And so it goes back to what you and I were saying earlier. We don't know what we're going to see from Trae. We don't know if we get starter Trae. We don't know if we get minutes limitation Trae. We don't know if we get 65-70% Trae. All we do know, however, is that we're going to see Trae play tonight. And just like you would say with Chris Middleton, if you will, that there are so many people who were wondering, okay, when is Chris Middleton going to show up, right? Or when is Drew Holiday going to show up? Or even in the last series, when you look on the other side. Well, on this side as well, the constant, unfortunately, right or wrong, has been the question of when are we going to see John Collins show up, like consistently.
Yeah, that breakout game,
We'll see John here and there. But the breakout game, oh, I love what you said, the breakout game where we're seeing him just absolutely destroy it from the beginning. He's had some great second halves, by the way.
Make me wrong,
across
see?
This entire.
Make me wrong. Make me
yeah,
wrong.
There you
I'm
go.
Okay
Prove
with being wrong.
Jarvis
I'm willing to sacrifice Robinson. Being wrong
yeah.
for the Hawks to get it to the
for
NBA
the Hawks,
Finals.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do that.
JC, prove JD incorrect. But you know who else I need to see? And, you know, I've been touting this from day one of the playoffs from game one against the Knicks. When Kayvon shows up, things happen. Say what you want. But when Kevin Herter shows up big, that's another one that always bodes well for the Hawks. So I'm looking for Kayvon to come back and show up big because he was quiet. He was pretty quiet in that game five. And listen, what I want to see from him is, you know, I love to call Trae Young a little scrappy. That's my favorite thing to call him because I just think he's a scrappy guy. He's a scrappy guy. But to me, Kev Herter is another one who, when he's out there being aggressive, being assertive, being one of the good hands folks from the beginning of the game, when he's getting steals and he is getting, especially crashing the boards to get offensive rebounds, that a lot of the time as well will fuel the rest of the Hawks to get going. And also when his shot is going, if they can get him involved and get his three ball going early, he's another X factor for me tonight.
Yeah. And like the fact that, you know, and then when you think about where he is and being able to be that guy, you know, to be that secondary ball handler, that when you get to that point, I think that's when you look at the red velvet starts to come out, and he's the guy that hits that, got that mid-range game, because that mid-range is there. It's there in today's game. It's there.
No
it's
question.
Always going to be there.
No question.
It's just, you just got to take it. And I think Herter has found his niche in that. So yeah, we're going to have to expect a good game from him tonight as well.
When we come back, guys, we'll give you a couple of our keys to a game six win as we get you guys amped up and ready. Is you ready? Because the whole Hawks squad, we think, is ready. It's Jarvis Davis. It's Tanitra Batiste. We'll talk a little bit about keys to a game six win for the Hawks when we return right here on Sports Radio 92.9 Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.